Welcome to the inaugural Dunk Tales pod for the 2020 season. I'm James Hollis. I'm joined by the irascible Joe Borelli. And, Corbin, what's your last name?
Corbin Ford. You got it.
Oh, I knew that. Corbin Ford.
Yeah, it was coming. I know.
By the way, right off the bat, you fucked up, because this is not the first episode of the season. But go on, please.
Continue. You do another one? No. The other one didn't count because Corbin wasn't.
All right, fair enough.
I appreciate
Eddie's
that.
He's not a party until Corbin is in the house. So, one didn't count.
Thank you.
Well, welcome to our newest member, Corbin Ford.
Appreciate y'all.
we've been slacking. And, even at that hoopsrebellion.com, we've been slacking. Check that out. And you can follow us at Hoops Rebellion and also follow the pod at, Joe?
It is Dunk Tales. I have to find out. It's on Twitter. Just look for Dunk Tales. It'll come up.
No, it won't, because the fake one will come up.
They should both come up. I think it's Dunk Tales podcast.
Whatever.
It's just like my Skype name. You know what I mean? You find both, you'll get one.
Yeah, it's at the Dunk Tales. So the Dunk Tales. Don't follow the other one. I don't know what the hell happened to that account, but the Dunk Tales is the one you need to be at.
This is an absolute train wreck already, and I love it. So we're going to keep it quick because both these guys are little weenies and like, oh, we got to go to bed soon, whatever.
Oh, my goodness.
Corbin.
Yes, sir.
What's up, bro? How you been?
I've been okay. Lakers fan. So this year has been nice. Nice. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm that one. So,
you know what?
The Timberwolves coming up in an hour. I'm ready.
Uh-huh. That's actually a good. This real good way to kick off this podcast. Like, you know, the rebirth with the three of us. I just want to get this out there. I'm a Sixers fan. James, as everyone knows, you're a Boston fan. Corbin, you're a Lakers fan. Is it to say that we all hate each other's teams?
Oh, well, without a doubt.
Yeah. All right,
I mean, I can't even mention the team that shall not be named in green. So. There you go with that. And Philly didn't win any points with me either. So, I mean, I don't know why I don't like the Lakers. We're a likable team this year.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, okay. Really likable. Vogel has moved out the door already. But much respect to the Lakers right now. Best team in the league by record. So, you can't say anything about that. It's funny because preseason, all the talk was how Vogel was probably going to get fired so quickly. But he wasn't the first one fired. So, that's a nice little segue.
James, you can't call your own segue a nice segue. You have to let somebody else say that. Come on, man. You know the rules of podcasting.
I'm arrogant, bro. I'm arrogant. You know that.
Fair. I hear your biceps look great this time of year. Go on.
Hey, they're rippling right now. So the New York Knicks are a train wreck. They just lost by one. They had a spirited loss. Like, you take some positive loss. They lost to the Pacers. But before that, they fired their coach, Dave Fizdale. After what, like a year and a half? Not even a year and a half.
I think it's like a year total, right?
Yeah, something like that. So they fire Fizz, and what are our thoughts on that, real quick?
Well, as a new guy, Corbin, why don't you go first?
I don't know. I think it's like putting a Band-Aid on like an inoperable like chest injury. It doesn't make any sense to me. I get that Fizdale isn't a great coach. He's not. The way he made rotations were interesting at best and just horrific at worst, but I don't think we put enough, well, I guess we do, emphasis on just how bad and mismatched the roster was, how dysfunctional the front office is. Like, I don't think there was a coach out there that could really make that work. And I'm not saying it to like say, you know, there wasn't any talent on the Knicks. There were, but it was just in all the wrong places. And I don't give it to Fizdale. Like, he's a decent coach, I would say. I wouldn't say he's horrible, but he's not great either. And I think that he did what he did with this team. It wasn't a great team to begin with. I think the only ones who thought that they were going to be like making some noise and being that tough, scrappy New York team were the Knicks, you know? So I don't know. I guess he had to go. I mean, the record did not look good, and he wasn't great. Definitely didn't do himself any favors. But at the same time, I'm not putting the blame on him. That team was crap before he even, you know, really got his name on that. It didn't get any better.
Now, in the Knicks front office defense, there were some people in the media who preseason were saying the Knicks are sneaking as an eighth seed. I like this roster, you know. So, That's media talking heads. Joe, what's your take on it?
Did you ever hear the expression, you can't polish a turd? That's what they tried to do. And they're trying to do it again. They're trying to do it by firing him and putting, what is it, Mike Miller? Is that who they're Their head coaches,
who I thought was the shooter.
Yeah.
For the longest. No, I was like, when did he join the Knicks staff?
Way to confuse everyone. Yeah, right. No, this is his first time head coaching gig. He's 55. I mean, it's fine, whatever. It's
can't go any worse.
Yeah, I guess. He was the head coach of the Knicks, you know, G League team, so I guess they liked him. I don't know, brought him on board. I think that, James, we talk about this all the time. It starts from the top down, and it's never going to change until Dolan is out of there. Listen, every move that the Knicks can make that was wrong, they've made it. They respond to everything on social media. They're a laughing stock, and they can't get out of their own way. I don't think that Fizdale is a bad coach. And of course, we all knew he was going to be the scapegoat as soon as they started losing. So right off the season, as soon as the season started, we knew they were going to be the scapegoat. They put together, like, I know a lot of people were talking about how they liked the moves that the Knicks made in the offseason. Like, they didn't hamstring themselves by giving anybody, like, really long-term contracts. And they got a bunch of really good guys like Julius Randle, blah, blah, blah. But none of them fit together. Like, it's a Franken yeah. team. And
yeah, so they
have redundant parts. And what are you supposed to do? I mean, I thought they've played at least, you know, they've competed for the most part, but
they absolutely did not. They got blown the hell out those last couple. That's pretty much why he got fired. They lost like a combined, like, I don't know.
Oh,
like
that's right.
60
right.
or 70 points those last couple games.
Well, I mean, after the Sixers ripped their hearts out twice in a row, and you can't really blame them.
So in the Fizz era, they went 21-83.
Oof.
This season, Barrett looked good, but Kevin Knox has maybe regressed. They still don't know what they're doing at point guard. Frank Ntilikina was a lottery pick, and he's like a fringe rotation player for him. So two things could be true. One thing is Coach Fizz did not optimize the roster. I don't think he made the best out of this roster. Like you said, his rotations, he was doing platoon. He wasn't really good with the rotations. And Julius Randle wasn't held responsible because he was just a wild man out there. But at the same time, I mean, like you said, it's like if I give a chef a bunch of mismatched ingredients and I don't buy some of the ingredients he needs and I don't give him the best pots and pans, and I fire him for not making a good meal. So,
well, the other thing about that though, James, is like when you put those guys out there together, and your rotations, if they suck, like you brought these guys in, the way you enticed them to come to the Knicks is that you're telling them they're going to get playing time. If you cut their playing time, you're going to really quickly destroy the locker room and everybody's going to be pissed off. And like, now you have another problem on your hand. Besides the fact that you can't win, you can't keep anybody happy. So like,
yeah.
You know, it's a double whammy. What are you going to do? I don't really like. Yeah, he maybe he wasn't good with his rotations, but like, what the hell did he have to do? I mean, come on.
I mean, he had to.
Yeah,
he had to give Frankie Smokes minutes. But you got to develop him, right? And I don't think they did a good job doing that.
How many guys is it going to take to develop Frankie Smokes? I thought he did better this year. Can we stop calling him that? I hate the nickname. But he did better this year than he's done under how many other coaches? Like six.
Yeah, but he was still getting. He was getting DNP CDs like that. That shouldn't be happening right now.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you had what? And the coaches before were like, what was it? Fisher, Rambis. Mm-hmm. It's not really the star coaching talent. I'm not saying that Fizz is even close to that echelon, but an upgrade there at least. But it's not even that. Like for me, I think it's that in order to maintain their flexibility, you have a lot of guys who are decent players, veteran pieces, but it's not like you have a young team and you're bringing in older pieces to surround them to kind of, you know, have that guidance in the locker room, but also can still play. I think about the veterans from that 2013 Knicks team when you had a Kenyon Martin, you had a Jason Kidd, you had a Marcus Camby, a Rasheed Wallace. Like, they weren't getting heavy minutes. They weren't looking to play those heavy minutes, but they were still able to play, and they were able to give that veteran guidance. You had players here like Marcus Morris and Taj Gibson and guys who can still play and who wanted minutes and are taking away from the younger guys who, like you said, you're trying to develop. You have a Dennis Smith Jr., Kevin Knox, Frankie Smokes. I'm sorry I had to use it. I mean, you have all these guys. I know. But it's like, you're right. You can't have a bad locker room, but you're basically already setting up that recipe because you're not giving the players who need the minutes that time. Because if you do, you risk upsetting the other ones who you signed on with the promise of having minutes.
Right. It's a no-win situation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last thing we'll say on it because we got a lot to cover today. Last thing I'll say is that we saw, obviously, the Clippers situation was horrible with Darnell Sterling and the league stepped in. Great. We saw Philly. We know the league kind of stepped in with Philly to get what's the name out of there?
Your boy. Which is still bullshit.
Hankey. Colangelo.
Right?
Yeah, so, Colangelo. Thing, right? Before, he did that on his own.
For the good of the league, we know that the you know, Adam Silver can do certain things for the good of the league. Why is he allowing two of the flagship franchises, that's the Knicks and the Bulls, to be ran like crap? Think about how much revenue they're missing out on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but still, like the owners pay him. I don't know. Dolan is guilty of being an idiot. Dolan is guilty of not knowing how to run an NBA team, but he's not guilty of being a racist. He's not guilty of being like doing some heinous things.
And take a deep breath. What is the NBA? The NBA is about making money.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. So the Knicks and the Bulls would make so much money, more money, if they were competent. I'm not saying fire Dolan, right? They didn't fire the owner of the Sixers. I'm saying step in and make them get like they did with Colangelo, right? They pretty much installed Colangelo there, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it was the right choice, but they did it. So why are they not doing the same thing with the Knicks? My point. So we got to move on. We got a lot to talk about. Okay. Right now.
Wait, can I ask you guys? Have they improved since they fired Fizdale? They haven't.
So it's gonna be the dead cat bounce, yeah. Right? They just fired. I think they've only played one game.
Yeah, and they lost.
They played. So my point is, they played hard and they played bad. But this is what happens, right? Once coaches get fired, there's going to be about a 5 to 10 game window where the team wants to prove, hey, we weren't the problem. It was the coach. They're going to play harder. You're going to get guys to focus a little bit better, and the results are going to look better right after a coach gets fired. That's it. Always happens, right? So good. I hope they turn it around. I hope they look better. But the Knicks are good, the league is like more fun. But they've been repping forever. So,
go on.
Honestly, the next thing to talk about, I'm the same way about this next topic because, look, I didn't dislike Luka Doncic coming in. I just said he has to prove it, right? Mm-hmm. I said he has to prove it. Sure, he did great in this league, overseas, blah blah blah. The kid has been absolutely astronomical. He's been better than I ever thought he would. I think he's been better than even the most maybe optimistic people thought he was. And right now, I don't know if a lot of people understand this. The Mavs start off 6-5. In the last 11 games, they're 10-1, and he's averaging almost 32, 10-9. And the scary thing is he can even be better, right? Because he's averaging almost 5 turnovers, and he's only shooting 33% from 3 in that same 11-game frame. The Mavs right now sit second in the West. I don't know if people realize this, right? Yeah, so my question to both of you, where do you rank Luka Doncic right now? And I'm not saying there's no resume involved. I'm just saying right now how the guys are playing, the best in the league are playing. Where do you rank him right now, right? And is it time for us to recalibrate from, oh, man, he's a great young player, to just saying he's like one of the – honestly, he's playing like one of the top 10, maybe top 5 players in the league right now, which sounds ridiculous to say, but I think the NBA is so slow to catch up that we might just have to recalibrate now with Luka Doncic.
I mean, I agree. I think it's not even, like you said, the top young player. I mean, although he is young, I would say top 15, top 10. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, and I'm thinking offhand, and I'm not putting him top 5 just yet, but he's definitely in that picture. And it's kind of crazy because I'm much like you in the sense I thought he should prove it. You know, I didn't go too big on the whole, especially being in Arizona, the whole DeAndre Ayton versus Luka Doncic debate that was all the rage out here. But, yeah, he's been amazing. It's one of those things where like, oh, yeah, the numbers, yada, yada, whatever. And then you look at him playing, you're like, nah, that boy good. Like, he legit good. And that's where it's at. Like, there's no question that he is one of the greats in this game right now. And it's such a rapid and kind of astronomical year-over-year improvement. He was really good last year, but, I mean, he was pretty good last year. He was really good this year. And you could see his first steps gotten a lot better. His three-point shooting is in, but the way he rebounds and playmaking, he can be stopped on several different shots that he has in part of his repertoire. It's really crazy. So, no, I'm with you. I'm all on the hype. I'm not going to be, like, shouting from the rooftops, but I think we can all see that Doncic is clearly a top-10 player.
Hey, Joe, real quick, what has impressed you most about Doncic's game right now? And then the same question to you, like, where do you rank him and where, what did you think coming in? And then where do you rank him now?
I think the thing that impresses me most is just his ability to score. I didn't think he would be averaging this. I didn't think he would be able to get into the lane and finish at the rim. I honestly had no idea he was going to be able to get around people. Seriously. That was my knock on him coming into the league. I'm just like, he's too slow a foot, man. Like, he's great. He has great court vision. He could shoot the ball. He can rebound. He could do all those things. And he was really impressive when he was in, you know, EuroLeague. But, like, I just thought it wasn't going to translate. I thought the athleticism just wasn't going to be there. So that is what's blown me away. But having said all that, we need to slow down just a little bit. Literally, what, 24 games into the season? I mean, yeah.
All I'm asking is right now, as he is playing, not about his resume, not about what he's going to be. I'm asking right now, in the last 11 games, he's averaging 31, 10, and 9.
Sure.
And his team is 11.
In the last 11 games, he's like top five in the league right now. He's been amazing for the season. Sure. He's been amazing. He's been really impressive. He's been like, he's the only reason that team is winning. Like, I mean, not the only reason. They got, you know, Porzingis. They get some guys, but it's primarily him. But yeah, what he's doing is amazing. I just think that, like, everyone's so quick to crown him the new LeBron. Like, we just need to slow down and realize that, like, A, it's a long season, and it's hopefully for him a long career. I think he has every potential to be a great player, but to say he's great right now, he's great immediately right now. He's great right now, but I don't think he's like great. When you compare him to like LeBron's resume, I don't think it's fair to say he's going to be one of the best players ever. And you know, I think somebody's already come out and said like, oh, he's going to be the best. He's going to be the best ever. Like, apparently it was a white guy that said that, by the way, you know.
So hold on. Newsflash. Take a deep breath. This is his second year, and he's put up numbers no second year players ever put up. He's put up numbers that at 20 that no one else has ever done. So what I remember the tweet, and I remember like I kind of cringed because I'm like, that's just kind of, it seems so like tone deaf. But they were like, he has a chance to be one of the best player, no, to be the best player of all time. Now, based just on his numbers, and let's say he keeps doing this and even improves in the next 5 years, right, to his prime. Right?
Sure.
And then he does that for another 12, 13 years. And let's say they throw a couple rings in. So the point is.
Right. That's what everybody's extrapolating out of this 24 game.
Like right now, hold on. Right now, Jason Tatum, right? He's good. Right?
Sure.
I don't think Jason Tatum has a chance to be one of the best players ever.
No.
You got to bring him to a Celtic, man?
No. Hold on. Ben Simmons is good. He's really good. He's going to be great for his career. He's got a long career ahead of him. Would you ever say, I think he has the chance to be the best player of all time? No. Right? Because it sounds ridiculous.
Right.
But the point is, with Luka Doncic, you can look at the statistical profile and what he's done and actually say, you're not slamming the door on that, right? That's where the point comes to. You're not slamming the door.
You're not slamming the door. There's a chance. So you're saying there's a chance.
Thank you.
Right. I'm just saying, but still, we're talking about a season, like the beginning of this season and one season last season. It's great. What he's doing is unprecedented. It's amazing. I am not taking a thing away from the guy. He's fucking fantastic. I'll trade Ben Simmons for Luka Doncic. Sure. Let's do it right now. The point is, can we not just like put him in the Hall of Fame already? He's a very young player, and it's very early in his career. Like,
I mean,
just take a
breath. I knew within 2 years LeBron James would be a Hall of Famer. I knew it, right? So like, I'm not going to say it's crazy to say that. Like, let's say obviously barring injury, I don't think next year he's going to come back and average 17-6 because that's just like everything he's doing right now is kind of sustainable. Right.
That, teams that are kind of that kind of regression would usually indicate an injury or something. But that's the thing. Like, it's, you know, he's all right. Go on. Sorry.
Well, that's all. That's the only point. So, I'm with you guys. Like, I was, you know, I didn't think he'd be able to get to the hole the way he does. I didn't think that because it's funny because this is going to sound stereotypical. He's like a sneaky athlete, but he's not.
Yeah.
He's a master of angles, and he's not that quick, but he's not that fast, but he's quick.
His step back is super long, too. Like, he steps, like, halfway across the court. It's crazy. By the way, I also want to make this point about him and Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons' defense is, like, on another – like, it's, like, all NBA. Luke is never going to be there. So, I don't know.
Okay.
You may get to a point in the playoffs. You may get to a point in the playoffs where, like, his defense really matters. Look at James Harden.
I'm sorry,
he's an incredible, incredible offensive scorer. But, like, his defense gets
– That's true. It's been exploited at times.
Are you making the argument right now that Ben Simmons – You would take Ben Simmons over Luka Doncic.
I am making the argument that I am the ultimate homer, and how dare you not recognize it about me?
I'll take it. Thank you for owning it.
Wow.
Because look, like James Harden, we know is almost allergic to defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's still top four player in the league, whatever you want to call him. He's been the engine of a team that almost beat the Warriors, which is, like, you know, a terrible banner to hang, but it's true. Steph Curry is not a defensive juggernaut, but we know he's such an offensive force that it doesn't matter. So,
but you know, Steph Curry was also good on defense. He's not terrible. He's not like a negative.
I mean, if we're talking about people being a homer, I and he's not on the Lakers anymore, but I'm high on Brandon Ingram over both those guys. So, just so y'all know,
over both of them. Hold on. Over both
Wait
guys.
A minute. Did you just say Brandon Ingram over Ben Simmons and Luka Doncic?
Well, I just said it.
Oh my god.
He got
welcome to the Dunk
so
Tales.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I'm gonna move on. Let's get to the good stuff.
That's not the good stuff. I don't know what it is. My God.
Let's sum it up. That Luka Doncic has been awesome. I think honestly, and yeah, a lot of the stuff that was it's xenophobic. It's not xenophobic, but it was definitely people were saying, oh, they did the whole standard and it's, you know, oh, he's a slow European white guy. And people were holding that against him before he came to the league. He blew that away. He's been awesome. And like Joe said, if he keeps on this path, cool. But I mean, let's see what he's doing in February, right? Because he might hit that wall. He's in much better shape than he was last year. Let's see what he looks like in February.
Listen, I hope he doesn't. I hope he is everything that we think he's going to be. And I hope he takes the league to another level. It would be fucking amazing. But let's just temper our expectations and just hang on. What he's doing right now should be really enjoyed and like in the moment. So let's give the kid his due and just wait. Just wait. It's fine.
I will say, last thing I'll say is Mark Cuban doesn't deserve that player because Mark Cuban. So we've had at least 20 games, right? And my standard trope is, sure, beginning of the season's fun, but we keep saying small sample size theater. But after about 20 games, I think most teams are who they are. Most players are kind of settled in, and you see guys who they are. So we're 20 games in, and teams are starting to normalize a little bit. I asked both you guys, we're going to do – I know it's really cheesy, contenders and pretenders, right? I want to hear from Joe. I want to hear – give me two or three teams that that right now you think, all right, that team could be hoisting the trophy next summer.
You know, here's the thing. Well, we're going to get to this other segment soon, but so I'll just say right now, I would still say I'm still high on the Clippers. The Lakers are pretty damn good. And okay. And I'm going to go Milwaukee because the Milwaukee Bucks have been on a fucking tear. I wonder how much that's going to translate into the playoffs. We'll see. But for right now, Giannis he's still an unstoppable force. I want to throw Philly in there, but they've not really impressed me so far. In fact, I've turned off several of their games just, you know, because I'm really, I got to stop angry tweeting, but there you go. So I would say Lakers, Clippers, and Milwaukee.
Yeah, I like those. It's a good call. My only issue with Milwaukee is as great as Giannis is and as nice as Middleton is I think Middleton would be better served as a third option. And we've all seen it, right? Most championship teams are, you got like two real studs and then a borderline all-star kind of number three guy, which is, I think that's what Middleton is. So I wonder if there's enough talent overall in Milwaukee. But guess what? This might be a situation like Dirk in 2011 where – Giannis is so outstanding and the pieces fit so well around him, it's not going to matter. So that's going to be interesting to see. Corbin, who you got?
I mean, I have to say my Lakers, right? We kind of already know where they're at, 20-3, top five offensively and defensively, two of the top five players in the league right now, playing at a great level. LeBron leading league in assists. The defense come together. Chemistry on the team is amazing. I think I've kind of run through the rundown now. 11-1 on the road. They've just been very, very good. Yes, they've had somewhat of a soft schedule until recently, but guess what? They've taken care of business, done what good teams do, which is beat those teams. And they've also been on a good streak, beating, three Western Conference tough teams at home and by, like, a combined margin of 58 points. So that's a team that definitely is up there for me. On the other end, I also am really high on the Raptors.
Yeah.
You know, the loss of Kawhi, they have hardly skipped a beat, and they've even had injuries to Serge Ibaka, to Kyle Lowry. But, you know, they're getting them back. I think they've had a couple losses since they've gotten Lowry back, but I think it's just reintegrating him into the flow that they've had. They'll be fine. Fred VanVleet's been balling out. Pascal Siakam's made that leap from a great wingman to, like, he could be the guy. I can kind of wrap my head around that. And the way that the Raptors scheme defensively, how tough they are. I think they're a really solid team. I could definitely see them doing the same type of underdog, scrap it out, grind it out, you know, fight their way to the finals and do the same thing all over again.
Do you know, I feel like the Raptors could probably be the one team right now, anyway, that as of what is it, December 8th, that could actually take it to Milwaukee in the playoffs. Like, I really think they could shut them down. I watched them play the Sixers tonight, and their defense was just so freaking good. The Sixers went up 21 points on them into the fourth quarter, and the Raptors came back and lost by six. Like, it was just, they turned the Sixers over and over again. When they wanted to, their defense was swarming, and it was incredible to watch.
It really was.
Now, see, there's one thing, though. If I remember right, Toronto's been doing the comeback thing a lot. But, I mean, you're still getting down big, and you want to know why. That's a good choice. My thing with Siakam is he's going to be great, and he is great right now. But this is his first year as leading man. And, like, we've seen in the playoffs, it's a whole different animal, right? And he's performed. He already performed at that level. You know, he was really good in the playoffs last year. But when that's playing with Kawhi Leonard, and Kawhi's gone, and now you are the guy. So it's going to be a little different. I think as well as they're playing right now, we might see some regression from them. I don't think they're going to maintain this level.
I think they're in the midst of it right now. I think they lost three in a row. So go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. And so, no, and that's the thing, right? Like, you got to give credit to Nick Nurse. You give credit to how that system has really worked. They're deep. They're versatile. They play really well together. But, you know, look, you took away – top 3-4 player in the league. He's just gone. And so that's good that they're maintaining, right? But he's still gone. So we'll see. We'll see. But those are two good choices. Lakers are one of mine. As much as it pains me to say, my issue with the Lakers is that, look, top end talent, you can't get better than LeBron James and Anthony Davis. The pieces around him. Kuzma has to really step up. Is he going to turn to that third guy that they need? And he hasn't. It's been very inconsistent, and he hasn't been that good. I think I looked today, last 10 games, he's averaging like under 10 points a game. They need more out of Kuzma.
Can I throw something crazy out there?
Go ahead.
As a Lakers fan, I would kind of want to trade Kuzma.
I don't think that's that crazy.
I think we need, and you're already starting to get on it, James. So I'll let you get back to it. But I think this was highlighted in the opening night loss to the Clippers, and we haven't really had a team really challenge it aside from that, but I could definitely see it being a problem. Aside from LeBron, who is our point guard but kind of our best one, we don't have a lot of capable ball handlers. Quinn Cook is solid. I like him. I do. But defensively, size limitations, pressure can really get him out of it. That's one. Alex Caruso's good as well. Rondo's great. I mean, he's been shooting well but also had a bunch of injuries this year. I just think we need another guy who can create his own shot and play tough D. We don't even need like a third star, almost like a Danny Green type of player. Kuzma's been good. I mean, no, he's not been good. Let me not say that. Kuzma's been okay. But I think that he would be the one piece really realistically that we could trade to get someone of that kind of stature to kind of augment this team a little bit. Because I saw that as a weakness. And also if, like you said, LeBron or AD go down, I could see one of them keeping the team afloat for a little bit of time, but it would be far from ideal. And I do not think Kuzma's that guy.
I'll say LeBron James would keep the team afloat for a little bit with the rest of the people. If Bron goes down and it's just Anthony Davis, then you got the Pelicans from a couple years ago, and then the Pelicans have, like, you know, of course, when they had DeMarcus and they had Drew Holiday, it was great. But if LeBron goes down, there's no Drew Holiday. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, you're right.
So I think that, and look, Anthony Davis is great, but when you have a big man who's great and the pieces don't really fit around him, like say LeBron's gone, then who's getting him the ball? Who's going to be setting him up in the pick and roll? So, but no, the Lakers are definitely one of my teams. I also say, look, the Clippers, sure. Right now, I think they're only like fifth in the West. They obviously don't give a damn about the regular season, right? They're load managing Kawhi. I feel like Paul George and Kawhi are kind of on cruise control. I don't feel like we've really seen on a night-to-night basis they're going 100%. You know, I think Kawhi is just kind of cruising at about 70%. Paul George is kind of getting himself together. He's about 85%. He's going kind of hard. But, yeah, the Clippers are still figuring it out, right? They didn't have a training camp, whatever. So I thought they would take the league by storm. They haven't quite, but we've seen potential. We've seen what they can do. So that's my other choice. And then, look, Joe, this kind of hurts me to say it too because I thought Philly would come out and kind of dominate the East. And we, like, you know, I know you're disappointed. The shooting's atrocious. But again, I can't stop thinking about that defense. When they're healthy and they got their five best players on the court, their defense is going to be suffocating. And that's what you need in the playoffs, right? Not saying that they got to find – Tobias Harris has to be more consistent. Josh Richardson has to probably maybe shoot a little more and shoot a little better.
He's been injured. He's been out the last six games, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but even when he was there, he wasn't really taking – like he wasn't shooting a lot of threes.
He was starting to come on. He actually – the last couple games he was hitting – yeah, anyway, go on. Go ahead.
That's my point. My point is you got to have shoot somewhere because Embiid and Ben Simmons aren't a great clean fit, but it is what you got, right? So I still think Philly playoff situation. I know you guys said Giannis and Milwaukee. I get it, but I think that with Joel Embiid and then Ben Simmons, they have this kind of length to choke off what Giannis and them wanted to do. So that's gonna be interesting to see if it gets to that point. But yeah, Philly has disappointed, and if they gets here, it's a win-win. If they do well, I can say, hey, I called it. They're one of my favorites. If they don't, I can laugh at Joe. Because I'm like, yeah, Joe, your team really sucks. All right.
You're in a good spot.
Just like I got to do for you last year. So I think, hey, I have it.
You know what? I almost want to draw that parallel, but I don't want to. I'm going to knock on wood and wait to see if it happens so I can really rub in your face.
Yeah, fair. That's fair.
That's the contenders. Let's talk about some pretenders. Teams that either we thought coming in the season would be really good or that start off really hot. You know, makes me think about the Suns. Which they're not. I'm not ready to call them pretenders yet. But they start off and people, oh, look at the Suns. They turn it around, and we don't know. You know, they look. They kind of fall back to earth a little bit. So Corbin, tell me a couple teams that you think might be pretenders or have really disappointed you so far.
I mean, it's kind of obvious, but the Jazz have been monumentally disappointing to me. First off, and it's not entirely due to him. I don't think, but Mike Conley's had. What, the worst stretch of his career to begin, like the season to start, just statistically, yeah, he's been real bad. And I'm not sure if that's just him trying to find his way, scheme the Jazz and where he fits in, or, you know, he is 32. Did he simply just, you know, lose his fastball? And you get those kind of point guards who they have it until they don't, and that might be it. But offensively, a lot's been put on Donovan Mitchell as usual. But it just feels like this year shouldn't have been that way because, you know, he had more help. Bogdan Bogdanovic has been playing well for them. But I know that Rudy Gobert had a moment where he was complaining about lack of shots, which I thought was unique for him. It's just been like a weird season. And yeah, I did see that. And when you're watching the Jazz, and I have, you'll see a bunch of times where they will – you know, Rudy Gobert will be up front. Mitchell's been that way at certain points. They'll be very demonstrative on breakdowns. And a couple times, it's, you know, you play in pickup. I'm sure we all play in pickup. And you have that one guy who lets the guy, you know, he loses his man on a back pick or something like that. And then he's yelling at the team for not covering it or yelling at the team for the miss when it's like, actually, though, that was your guy. I'm seeing that a lot with the Jazz. And it's kind of weird because it's not the kind of team that you would think would have that kind of tension on the floor. But, I mean, I've been watching a couple of their games dutifully to kind of see what's been going on, and that's been something I've noticed. So they've just not been at all a contender. The Lakers came and had their lunch over there. LeBron took off his shoes, gave them away, and started doing the moonwalk. It was rough. And I just don't see the Jazz come back. They got walloped in Toronto. They've just been getting beat and badly, and I'm not really sure when it comes together, even if Mike Conley recovered the shot. Just in general, the defense has not been up to speed. There's been some untimely injuries, but the Jazz as a whole have not been great to me.
Real quick, I'm sorry, I'll let you get back to it, but they are 13-10. They are known as slow starters, right? Like, I think they've done the last couple of years, they've done this where they kind of scuffle for the first maybe third of the season, and they kind of take off in January or February. So Jazz fans, you know, can probably take heart in that. And a little bit of optimism about Mike Conley. He had a nice little stretch of seven games where he averaged 19 points, four rebounds, five assists, and shot 44% from three. That was, you know, then he had a stretch of games where he did not play well. So, and he's out right now, I think, with a little injury. I'm not sure what happened to him, but he's out with the injury. So, but yeah, the Jazz were actually one of mine too. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then, I mean, we already covered the Sixers. I would kind of call them pretenders, but we've already kind of broke them down. So I'm not going to go too deep into that.
Corbin, you know what? You're not doing yourself any favors here. Just stop.
Listen. I kind of figure, but you got to bear with me here. I'm trying.
I will ban you from this podcast so fast. No, I'm just kidding.
On my first time, it's already over. Now I get you. I never considered the Nets a contender at all, but I heard enough talk about them that I'm going to put them in that category. And mind you, it's not all their fault. They've had injuries to Kyrie, injuries to Caris LeVert. In general, they've just been kind of an up-and-down team that hasn't had their identity from the get-go. So I don't put all the fault on them, but I'm going to put them as a pretender because, you know, people are talking about them having, you know, top four in the East, and it's the East, so they could still probably claw their way back in, but right now they're sitting seventh. I mean, you're going to put me on the links here, but I'll send some links. I heard some.
I've heard it too.
Him and yeah, I heard some stuff. So with that being said, that's why I'm putting them. I personally wasn't big on that at all. I know they're playing kind of a long game waiting for next year, but there's been enough talk that I think I can safely put them there as a pretender and not feel bad about it. And, That's really been on the East and West for me. The Clippers have been well. I didn't really think any team that is playing bad so far. Dallas has made an unexpected stretch, and I think the Kings have free-falled, but I didn't consider them a contender, although I did think that they would be a lock for the playoffs this year. But in classic Kings fashion, you get one good squad that's promising up and coming, then you do a couple of minor alterations to fuck all that up, and then you're back where you start.
Can I give you guys one? Let me give you a pretender. I'm really disappointed in that I thought would be way better than they are. You ready for this? Should we do a drum roll? Golden State Warriors. Jesus Christ. Come on. Like, what the fuck? They're
we got to give them the injury exception, though.
No,
right?
Of course. But they're, I mean, I guess we're talking about pretenders, but like, honestly, they're not even in the conversation anymore. But I really thought that they were going to finish way better than they are. It's kind of sad to see what's happened to that team, that they fell apart so fast with just a few injuries that, like, you know, whatever. I know a lot of people are loving this, but
I'm savoring it. Not only just because of the fact they've been the Warriors for all these years, but yeah. I wasn't a fan of the move, priced out the loyal fans. This is good. This is what you get right now. You got the money, you got everything else. Now you pay the dues, and I'm okay with that.
By the way,
injuries are on top. Not supporting that, but that's literally all I'm not with about the Warriors' demise right now.
Steph Curry and Draymond are no little injuries, by the way, but I'm just, you know, even with those guys.
I'd be happy if they were playing and still losing. I'll tell you that.
I mean, they didn't start out the season great either, and I had a feeling like it wasn't as good as it wasn't going to go as well as I thought it was. But I don't know. They were a disappointment when the guys were healthy. And by the way, D'Angelo Russell, I don't even know. I haven't been following him at all. I'm not a fan. But I knew he would not be a great addition for this team. That's one for me.
See, hold on now. So I think D'Angelo actually was playing really well, but he's just doing it for a team that sucks.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, I think he's a good stats bad team guy. It's, you know, I hate to give Bill Simmons his due, but, like, you know, that's D'Lo. He's one of those guys.
I mean, the verdict is still out on that for sure. I will say that. I mean, it's definitely some.
He scored 52 this year.
And a loss.
Mm-hmm.
The Timberwolves. Yeah, they lost that one.
Yeah, the team sucks. he had a string of injuries, and he missed like a good chunk. But he was averaging 24 and like 7, so like it is what it is. This is my thing, right? What other team would have two recent All-Stars on the roster and be given the pass that Golden State gets? Because Draymond, a recent All-Star, D'Angelo's an All-Star, and even they both played, the team kind of sucked. And everybody's like, oh, well, that's because Steph's out. I'm like, yeah. No other team gets that kind of latitude, but that's a good choice. Because, and like you said, even when Steph was playing to start the season, they started off.
They were not good. They were not good.
Yeah, they're like 1-5 to start the season anyway, before Steph even got hurt. So.
I don't know if it was that bad, but their defense was atrocious, and they just were not. Like, Draymond wasn't playing like Draymond. The whole team was just not good.
Venting. It was been rough.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of that, okay, so I got to throw this out. I don't know if we actually going to touch on the team without us on the list, but what are we all thinking about Houston? Can we get that real quick?
Let's Let's touch that at the end. Joe, you got any other teams?
There was a lot of talk about the Chicago Bulls coming in. I didn't buy it, and currently they're 11th. They're 8-16. So I'd like to say they're a disappointment, but I'm not disappointed because I didn't think that was going to happen for them. I don't know. No, that's about it. Orlando, so, maybe. Maybe Orlando. I thought they'd be a little bit better than 500 right now.
Yeah, it sucks. Sacramento and Orlando are the teams that I can say that's a good choice, because both of them, you know, Orlando made the playoffs last year. Sacramento was right there almost in the playoff, and both of them have come out and look like almost like they both regressed, right? So that's a good call too. Houston, let's talk about Houston real quick. What do you think on Houston, Corbin?
I think they're a hard team to categorize, to be honest with James. I mean, it's been rough. I think they've missed Eric Gordon a lot more than they probably thought they would. I also think that the loss of Joe Green has been big for them. Just having a guy who has no problem shooting, who can actually shoot it. James Harden has been putting up points, but hasn't really been the most efficient at all. Russell Westbrook's had the worst start to his career, worst start to a season shooting, and that's saying a lot for him in his shooting percentages. They've just been free falling. We're talking low 20s from three. But at the same time, Russell Westbrook, when he plays within himself and gets to the basket, when his mid-range jumper's going down, he's still very good, in my opinion. James Harden, while not being efficient, is still putting up points. He's still hard to guard. And, you know, the defense is locked in at times. So it's hard for me to say whether, you know, wait for Gordon to get back, kind of get that gel together. Russell Westbrook can't shoot this bad. He's historically like a, what, 28 to 30% shooter from three. He's nowhere near the low 20s. So you think that would revert back to form and he'll find a stroke again. James Harden will be a little more efficient with less pressure on him with the reintegration of Eric Gordon. So you think that it could get better. And then if not, I mean, you can always trust Daryl Morey to make some moves at the trade deadline, because this team as is constructed to win. They can't do this. I mean, they're playing well. Let me not say like they're playing bad, but I do not see them as a championship contender. I also do not see them as a pretender at this stage. I just see them as there.
I'm going to say this. Next year, the Rockets are going to look markedly different, and either one or both Russell Westbrook and James Harden will be gone.
Ooh, that's a bold prediction. I don't think it's going to be. Harden.
You think it's going to be 2019 OKC Thunder breakup?
I feel like this. We're seeing. Like, have you ever had a video game and you just play? You hit sim and you simulate it, and it still gets like it starts getting glitchy. I feel like that's where the Rockets, where they pushed the analytical model and they went all in, and they, you know, they tried to upgrade Russell Westbrook from Chris Paul to the point where they don't have a lot of assets outside of Chris. Russell Westbrook and James Harden. They don't have assets other teams want. They kind of just, you know, again, there's two stars and then there's Eric Gordon and Clint Capella. Like, that's fine. But like, I feel like it's getting to the point where the roster's kind of, it's almost at the end game with the same roster and the same style. So, maybe D'Antoni's gone and they keep Russell Westbrook. But like you said, Russell Westbrook is nearing the end of his career. I think of him being a superstar.
Which is crazy because he's like 33 or something. He's not even that old, is he?
I'm not saying end of his career because he has like four more years left, so he'll be around at that big money. But the point is, like he's so much built on athleticism, and it's starting to fade just enough where he's having disastrous games. I think he had a 2-game stretch where he was like, I don't know, like 14 for 60 or some nonsense. Like it's disgusting. So
I'm with Corbin on this one. I do think that Gerald Green was a huge loss for them. And I just, man, I don't think this roster is like they're good. They're going to be a good regular season team. They're going to beat some teams, but I seriously have my doubts about what happens to them in the playoffs. James Harden is like, they're leaning on him right now. He's averaging 38.5 points a game. I mean, it's great. He's going to put up some regular season numbers. So, you know,
they're going to reach a tipping point, man.
They're going to reach a tipping point. It's not going to hold over him, but Harden is going to be exhausted by the time playoffs come. I would like to say it's fun to watch him, but it's not even really that. It's interesting to tune in to see how much, you know, how many points James Harden is going to put up.
It's a spectacle. It's not fun. It's a spectacle.
Yeah. There you go.
It's a spectacle because you're like, holy crap, how many shots can he take?
Yeah.
How many times can he do this? How many free throws are you going to get? So, like, it's almost like watching an operation where it's kind of gross and you're watching it, but you're marveling at the same time. So, yeah, that's the Rockets are an interesting team to watch.
Yeah, I agree with both you guys. It's a weird combination. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know, James, if they're going to trade Harden. Seriously, I do agree with you. I think that Westbrook is going to get moved, and I don't think that D'Antoni is going to be here anyway because he's already a lame duck coach. So I think him and Daryl Morey might be out the door at the end of the season. But
I'm not gonna talk too long on mine. My pretenders are again same thing with the Knicks. We kind of heard. We're like optimism and a buzz. Hey, they're going to be at least interesting and fun, and you know some nonsense about eight seed. I didn't agree with that part, but they've been really bad. The Jazz, something just seems different than their normal slow starts. Donovan Mitchell has been really good, but I don't think we've seen the jump we thought we'd see from him. Mm-hmm. And we thought Mike Conley and Bogdanovich has been everything he's been advertised, but Mike Conley, his It's funny because don't forget, it took Mike Conley like 3 or 4 years to become a good NBA point guard and to really kind of reach his level. And maybe this is like he's a new system, new everything. He's struggling a little bit to adjust. I thought they'd be better this year, so they're one of mine. And then the Timberwolves, right? They actually wrote articles about Andrew Wiggins finally getting it, and Karl-Anthony Towns has been a flamethrower, but they're still not really that good. Like I'm still watching them lose, like, you know, to teams that they shouldn't be losing to and getting blown out in games they should be blown out about. So they're a team I think is kind of pretenders. They look good statistically, and Wiggins is supposedly be getting it, but they're still like, I mean, is anybody really scared of Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins? I don't think so.
No.
So those are my three teams. Let's try to wrap this. I know we can't, Joe. I know it's like really late for you, so we're killing you right now.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock. It's past my bedtime. I'm an old man.
The last segment we're gonna do is call this the diagnosis, right? We all have our preseason snafus that, or you know, things we like to have a do over talking about. So Joe, you start first. Give me something you believed in the preseason that right now you're like, why the hell did I believe that?
All right. And Corbin's going to love this one. I thought that the and I'm standing by this, by the way, I thought that the Lakers were going to fucking fall apart and they were not going to make the playoffs. I stand by the fact that if LeBron gets injured, they are fucked. I don't care how good Anthony Davis is. He cannot carry a team on his own. He has no one feeding him the ball. We just talked about it. And not only do they have nobody playmaking for them and they don't have the force that is LeBron, it's going to start trouble in the coaching ranks. And like, I still see, I mean, this is a really stupid take on my part. And I thought a lot of things would go wrong. I don't believe in their bench. I don't believe in their depth. Outside of the top two, I think they're very thin. And I think that there could be turmoil within the coaching, all that stuff. It was still probably a dumb take, but I'm standing by it.
At least you owned it.
Yeah, you know, fuck it. I'm standing by it. I'm like, I'm all in. I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot, and I'm standing by it.
Hey, listeners, Lakers fans out there, it's at Joe Borelli. So you can just go off of him about that terrible take. Corb, you got one?
You know, I guess a take I feel bad about. I thought that the addition of Rubio to the Suns team would hurt them and not help. I was puzzled by a few of the moves, but I did not like Rubio. I was really pushing for D'Angelo Russell to join Devin Booker. One, because I love to see a good dumpster fire defensively, and I think that would have made a perfect match in the backcourt, just bleeding points. On the other end, I also was thinking, hey, you want someone who Booker can grow with. By the time Booker gets to like really, really where he's going to be at in his prime, Rubio's going to fade out of it. He's already not the best shooter. Defensively, he's okay. I thought it was overblown from being in Utah. You know, I didn't think it was that positive. In fact, I wasn't really high on any of the Suns' moves here. As the Lakers fan in Arizona, I guess I can do that. But they've really surprised me, made me kind of feel stupid. Aaron Baines has been just a baller. Rubio's been very solid. Only thing really messing with them, aside from the DeAndre Ayton suspension, was injuries. And so, I mean, it's kind of crazy that we're at the point where, wow, if they didn't have injuries, they'd be, you know, a really, really solid team right now. And they're already pretty good in, you know, right now in the eighth seed and have been playing really well. So I guess I just was way too down on them. And that is a shocker for me. Just something to be like, whoa, hold up now. What were you thinking?
You know what? I'll say this, though. You have every right to it, because every year the Suns do all kind of overhauls and switch direction. And every year they flub. So I understand why you were already thinking that, even though, I mean, Rubio's good, right? He's good. He's going to be a net positive. You want a point guard who's a little more offensive minded, but sure, he's a great playmaker and he's a strong defender. So that's fine. But yeah, that's for me, I'll say it was the Heat. I knew that Jimmy Butler was really good, but I figured that, you know, it's the Heat. Jimmy Butler and a bunch of guys. I didn't think Bam would make the jump that he's made. Bam Adebayo has been the best, like, all-around kind of – I think he's taking the mantle from Draymond as, like, a do-it-all defensive forward, you know, as far as power forward. He's incredible. I love that kid. So, yeah, I thought the Heat would kind of, all right, they might sneak in the 7-8 seed, but they've been really strong, even though my Celtics handled them pretty easy the other night. But, Joe, you got another one?
Shoot, things that I got wrong. Corbin, go ahead. I'll come back. Come back to me. I don't really get things wrong. I'm sorry. What can I tell you?
Yeah, I mean, things I got wrong. Maybe I thought that you already talked about Miami not really gelling too quickly, I guess. And I also thought that Philadelphia looked a lot worse than they do. Just figured it was such an odd matchup of talent. in all the wrong places to me, and I thought it would take a little longer for them to look pretty decent, and it has not. And I guess I kind of already alluded to this earlier, but I thought the Kings would be solid. I thought that those picks that they got, those pickups they got, were veteran guys who would fit in pretty well, kind of enhance the culture that I thought Sacramento was building. And though they've been playing better as of late, they have been pretty disappointing. And so I can definitely acknowledge that I made a failure on that end.
I'm with you on Philly. Like I said, I thought Philly would kind of like, you know, run roughshod through the East, right? I feel like Joel Embiid is not in the best shape.
Do you know Joel Embiid was benched in the fourth quarter tonight for the first time in his career?
You know what? Something. Raul, so, you know what, man? Here's the crazy thing. Like, I don't want to wish this on you, Joe.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like a little bit of the stink of the 2018-2019 Celtics, where tremendous expectations and the chemistry is just not quite right. I feel like Simmons is basically the exact same player, you know, he was last season. The coach is bit. Well, I mean, he's great.
He's hit two threes now. He's hit two threes.
He's never done that before.
The coach is in public begging him to shoot threes.
No,
that's like,
I know.
That's just so weird. Like,
I know.
It's
listen.
This is gonna be fascinating to watch. So I'm with.
They put all
team
their.
That was, go
sorry,
ahead.
Sorry. They pushed all their chips on those two guys, and they both came back and for the start of the season haven't added anything. Joel Embiid has been completely out of shape. He has not been trying. And I know we make too much out of the, you know, being out of shape thing. He's not, you know, he'll play himself into shape, which is horseshit. If you're playing yourself into shape in the regular season, you've given a huge advantage to all the guys who actually do want to win. I don't know what's going on with him. I think it possibly could be the stink of Jimmy Butler, because he still shouts out Jimmy Butler all the time, and that guy is a locker room cancer if ever I've seen one. And I think he might be getting into Embiid's head, and maybe Embiid thinks he deserves stars treatment or something. But listen, he was terrible on the court in the fourth quarter of the night. He turned the ball over like three times in a row, and he has not corrected that. He's getting a little bit better at passing out of double teams, but like, seriously, this is the first time that I've ever watched the Sixers since they've had Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons together. And I've started to think to myself, I think I'm a Ben Simmons guy. Because Simmons is actually fucking good. You think that Simmons didn't add anything? He added. His defense is so fucking dominant this year.
I mean,
it's been incredible.
He was great defensively last year.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to get
that. His defense, he's ratcheting the defense up another level, and he's actually starting to shoot. I know I don't believe in it yet, but I'm really starting to think, like, if the two guys, like, I love Joel Embiid. I love Joel Embiid to death, don't get me wrong, but when the Sixers play Ben Simmons with Al Horford, they run the court. They get out in transition. They pass.
Could
they
you
get
imagine
everybody
if Ben Simmons? Can you imagine Ben Simmons just embraced it and became a freaking playmaking five? And so you had Horford, Ben Simmons at the five, and you can find a shooter at point guard. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be pretty incredible. Embiid slows the game down where you have to play in the half court. They double and triple team him, and he turns the ball over, and there you go. He scored 10
points. We
won't
see the best of Ben Simmons. We won't see the best of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid until they split him up.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. And I really think that's probably – I mean, I've been resistant to that for the entire time they've been together, but it's starting – like, don't get me wrong. I still think there's time, and I still think they can work it out. And, you know, I want to believe in Brett Brown, and it's a tough thing, man. He's got a new roster again, and they're trying to get it together. They're starting to show some signs that they might be okay, but it's slow, and it's painful. And this isn't a Sixers podcast, so somebody please take the mic from me.
I'll say this. When I watch Philly, I have a feeling, because like last season, I felt like Kyrie never was part of the Celtics offense. He kind of coexisted uneasily beside it. I don't feel like Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are like, I never feel like, oh, wow, what a great play they've made together. Or like they're really dominating. It seems like almost like it's my turn, your turn.
Exactly.
And they just don't seem to, and you know, I've heard off court, they just don't really seem to be like a great fit. So
I mean, we see them talking a lot more on the sidelines this year, but honestly, I have to put that on Brett Brown. I know it's unfair, but like,
it's not. I think that the fit of them, I think like they would be, I think Philly would be better with like, say, Dame as their point guard, because fits better with the Joel Embiid.
But that's what I'm saying. I think Philly would also be better. And I, oh my God, I'm going to regret saying this. If, No. I'm not saying it. I'm not saying anything.
Got to say it now. No.
I'm not saying it. There's no Joel Embiid slander here. I'm not saying it. No. Done.
Gotta say it.
I love Embiid. He is my Lord and Savior. That's all. I just wish he would get into shape and like really start playing. Listen, in the last two games that they've played the Raptors, he's put up 10 points. So let that simmer with you. The last time he played the Raptors against Marc Gasol, he put up 0 points for the first time in his college or her professional career. He's not right. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's mental. I don't know if he's unhappy. I don't know what exactly it is, but he's not right. And it's upsetting. And yeah, he doesn't. That's all I'm saying. No more Sixers talk.
For the listeners, you guys tuned in and you got some extra Joel Embiid slander from a Philly fan.
There you go.
You can't beat that. You got Lakers love. And I kept quiet about the Celtics for the most part.
Yeah, that's we didn't talk about the Celtics at all.
That's fine. No. I'm fine with that because I wanted to kind of cruise as under the radar as possible because I don't want to be hurt again.
By the way, I thought they would be good this year. I didn't think their defense would be nearly as good as it is. So props to them, man. Kudos to them. They've been really good. We have a big game coming up this week, you and I, James.
I'm going to roll that out then. One of my surprises, I thought that the Celtics would be good, not great. And they're not great yet, but they're, you know, they're one of the best teams in the league right now, record-wise. I thought their defense would slip a lot without Al Horford, and it's not. So that's been one thing I was wrong about on a positive side. And another thing I got right, actually, my boy Jaylen Brown has turned into a fringe all-star. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown's been balling. We talked a lot about a lot of nonsense. We're all over the place. Thanks for listening. You can follow me. You can follow me at Snotty Drippin. You guys give your own handles because I don't know what the hell your handles are.
I'm basic at Corbin NBA.
And that's Corbin with an A. Corban.
Appreciate that. That is true.
Yeah,
very important.
Corbin, I'm thinking
that.
You should change your handle to Corbana, like you know, like going out on a cabana.
Corbin Cabana.
Corbana Bar, something like that. I don't know. There's something there.
Copa Corbana.
There you go.
I'll take it.
All right, do it.
Nah, it's a horrible idea.
I'll consider it.
And I'm just
at Joe Borelli. At Joe Borelli.
You want
not
to talk
the politician.
Basic. Not the politician. Fuck that guy. Voted against him. It felt so good.
So thanks for listening. I know the show was probably a mess. We're going to get it down and flow a little better next time. And if you didn't like it, too bad. Listen anyway.
And Corbin, I just want to give you a round of applause and thank you for actually preparing for this podcast, unlike the other two of us.
Whoa. I was prepped.
Well, you're the one that did the outline.
Our rundown was great.
Yeah, it was great. It's great. I had an hour to prepare, so Corbin, good on you.
Okay, appreciate that.
Joe likes you the excuse, oh, I have a baby, I have a family. That's bull crap.
What are you talking about? I do have a baby. She's 8 months old. She's the most beautiful child in the world, just so you guys know.
No, she should be feeding herself and like have a job already. It's not our problem.
It's true. She needs to put her own weight.
Hey, thanks for everybody listening. This has been the inaugural three-man episode of Don't Tell's Pod. Check us out at Hoops Rebellion, where I'm actually going to write something, I promise. And I guess iTunes, Spotify, everywhere. Look up Don't Tell's Pod and you'll find us. And give us good ratings and pass us on to your friends and we'll holler at you.
Peace.